Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by Providence Journal State House reporter Patrick Anderson. Hi there, Patrick.
Hi, Ian.
Kevin, as we know, Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton by 14 points in the traditionally Democratic town of Johnston in 2016. What do Democrats have to do differently to win back voters in communities like Johnston going forward?
Well, three things. I think number one is we have to run quality candidates. We have to have good candidates with good stories who are in this business for the right reasons, and that's to make sure that working Rhode Islanders have better lives than they found them. I think number two is we have to lead with our values. We have to be talking about the economy. We have to be talking about health care. We have to be talking about the issues that matter to Rhode Islanders. And we have to be explaining why the Rhode Island Democratic Party's vision on those issues are better than Republicans. And then I think the third thing is we have to compete everywhere. We have to be knocking on doors and calling and talking to voters in every section of our state. For too long, I think we've had a city-centric focus and haven't been really focusing on the western and northwestern part of our states, which are traditionally tougher country for Democrats because there are just not a critical mass of Democrats there. But, you know, there are voters there who care about the issues and who share our values on those issues, and we need to be talking to those folks and bringing them out, and that's what we'll be doing.
Speaking of issues, left-leaning policies like single-payer health care and a $15 an hour minimum wage seem to pull well with voters. Does that indicate that the Democratic Party should be moving to the left?
We have to build a consensus on these issues. I run around the state constantly and talk about the idea that the two wings of the party, the two wings of the plane, they always agree on the what. It's usually the how and how fast that they disagree about. Legislation, or the art of legislation, is about building bridges and about compromise, and it's about getting momentum around issues. And as momentum for those issues start to grow, I think absolutely those things will get done. But right now, it seems like in the General Assembly, and this is my view from the outside, that while they poll popular, the question is about, is there a voting consensus in each of these districts that feels passionately about those issues and is voting those issues as their number one issues? I'd say the same is true on gun violence prevention and some of the other issues that folks see as not moving.
Let's go to Patrick Anderson.
So since the presidential election, you've seen a real increase in activism by left-leaning groups, some that are looking at passing some of those policies you just talked about. How do you, as state party director, deal with some of these groups that are very active and really getting engaged and very aggressively in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think our job is to open up our processes and to try to make sure that people understand that there's not a wizard behind the wall and that the party is a place for them to have a seat at the table. I think that also requires that those folks understand that they're going to find some things when they get to the party that they may not understand or may not like. But that doesn't mean that the people that are on the other side are bad people or not Democrats. It means that there's some consensus building that needs to be done. You know, one of the first things I did when I became ED is we started a platform process where we open it up to the public so people could actually see what we think and be a part of that process. I think by being more open and transparent, I think we help to get people to understand that the party is a place for them to be. We frankly need their energy to be successful in 2018. And at the same time, we want them to be our partners in winning some of these elections, but we've got to do it in a way that brings us together and doesn't divide us.
Kevin, speaking of being open and transparent, we've heard you say you're a big believer in the state district committee process. Why does the state Democratic Party not post information about openings on state district committees and possibly also ward committees on its website so that information is more accessible to people who might be interested in getting involved?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think the answer is that we have some work to do with the Secretary of State's office and the various boards of canvassers' office to make sure that that information is available. As a political apparatus, we're in support of candidates. But we also recognize that we have a responsibility to the public as well with respect to that piece. And so obviously there are things that we can do better and we will do better.
This year, there a lot of the controversies that have come down to the state party have involved gender issues. And you had the Women's Caucus upset earlier in the year, the endorsement flapped, female lawmakers who are members of the party upset over policy issues. Are you doing anything or have you done anything to try to reach out and mend some of those fences with female Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, we started that our women's caucus primarily because we understood that not only were women an important demographic for us in the upcoming election, but because there was a lot of energy there. And, you know, notwithstanding the growing pains that we've had, I do think that that group is helping to move the party in a positive direction. We've heard from them. We've collaborated with them. There are concrete things that they have suggested that we have implemented. The answer is not so microscopic in that about gender. It's really about just saying to folks, whatever your stripes are, whatever makes you identify with the Democratic Party, there's something here for you. There's a place for you to be impactful here.
To piggyback on Patrick's question, I've heard women candidates say they face more harassment and other challenges than male candidates. With an unprecedented number of women candidates in the U.S. this year and many in Rhode Island, is there anything that you and the State Democratic Party are doing to try and address those concerns they have about harassment and related challenges?
Yeah, it's super unfortunate that they're dealing with those things. I'd say people of color are also dealing with the same sorts of things too. And I, you know, as a person of color, I think it's tragic that you know, people who are stepping up and to run for office and do the right thing have to deal with that. You know, our job in the party is to try to create a level playing field. And so to the extent that, you know, folks are feeling that way and communicating that to us, we do a lot of the work behind the scenes to try to temper the temperature on some of the rhetoric that's out there, particularly in the primary season, because it's so important to making sure that we can come back together.
Is the Women's Caucus meeting within the state party or still outside at a different location?
They have quarterly meetings, and they have not met at our party's location, but that has more to do, frankly, with the size of the caucus than anything else. They really have among the most active caucuses that we have. They have tons of people that are showing up, and our physical space just can't accommodate them at all times. But I have regular conversations with the leadership, Selena Mahanti, the chair, Bridget Valverde, the vice chair. We talk on a regular basis. We're regularly in contact with one another.
We're almost out of time here, Kevin, but supporting abortion rights is part of the Rhode Island Democratic Party platform. Considering that, would it be more accurate to describe lawmakers or candidates who support abortion rights as mainstream Democrats rather than how they're often described as progressive Democrats?
Yeah, I think that I really hate the term progressive or traditional or moderate as pejoratives, because I think that, you know, going back to what I said earlier, this is about us all being Democrats and being on the same team. The Democratic Party is not a monolith, right? There are a lot of people that come to the Democratic Party for a lot of different reasons. And I think to pigeonhole somebody as not being a Democrat because they don't check the box on one issue or the other, I think is the wrong approach. The right approach is to say, you know, my Democratic friend might not agree with me on this issue, but he agrees with me on X issue. Or she might agree with me on, you know, schools and healthcare, even though she doesn't share my point of view on another issue. And how do we work together to build bridges rather than work to focus on the things that divide us?
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from the Providence Journal, State House reporter Patrick Anderson.
Thank you for having me.
And the executive director of the Rhode Island Democratic Party, Kevin Olosinoy.
Thank you for having us.